Thank you for joining the Adult and Teen Challenge at the Upper Cumberland podcast. This is Pastor Tim McLaughlin, Executive Director. We're so glad that you've joined us. Hopefully these are a blessing to you, and the Word of God is good and can transform your life. We've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, don't be a fool. Today, I really want to talk to you and continue on with this thought and this series and begin to look at it in a way where we begin to understand what it means to fear the Lord. Our text that we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks has been found in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 15. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 15, says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." So again, we've been talking about not being foolish, not being unaware, not doing things in a foolish manner, but walking circumspectly. We've looked at this word circumspectly over the last couple of weeks, and we understand that it's to understand that there's a cause and effect. There is a something that's going to take place in everything that we do, and there's going to be consequences, good or bad, to how we walk these things out. So we need to make sure that we're walking in a manner that is pleasing to God, that everything that people see, everything that people do, when they see the way that we're living our lives, that we're making a positive impact, that we're becoming light to a dark world, and that we're not causing people to stumble, that we're doing everything as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23 says, everything we do as unto the Lord, not as unto man. So Paul says right here in Ephesians 5 and 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord." So we've been talking about how we need to walk, how we need to encourage one another, how we need to be, again, a light to a dark world. But he says we need to do all of these things, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Psalm chapter 34, verses 8 through 10 says this, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lion lacks and suffers hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." See, the fear of the Lord that Paul is talking about here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, and the fear of the Lord that the psalmist is talking about here in Psalms 34, 8, is not something that we ought to have be terrified of the Lord, but the fear of the Lord that they're talking about is the awe that a person ought to have before God. It's not like the fear that we might have towards something that could harm us, but it is a reverence towards God in who He is. My wife says every morning when we pray together, she says, "Lord, I thank you for who you are." Listen, you're not going to thank someone that you are terrified of, but you're going to thank someone when you have an awe, you have a reverence for who He is. When we practice reverence for God in our lifestyle, we reflect godly caution toward the traps of this world. When we live again circumspectly with a fear of the Lord, we're going to make sure that everything we do in this life, every word that we say, reflects the godly life that we're trying to live. We know we're not perfect, but we know that we serve a perfect God. I shared this with you last week. John Bevere says this, "If you desire the praise of man, you will fear man. If you fear man, you will serve him, for you will serve what you fear." Listen, I know a lot of people really have a an issue with people pleasing. And I think to an extent we ought to please people so that we can lead people to Christ, but not to the extent that it causes us to stumble, not to the extent where we try to please man, so therefore we sin. We need to learn to live righteously before our God, and we need to make sure that we have a fear of the Lord more than we have a praise for the things of man, because whatever we fear, that will we serve. I want to have an awe. I want to have a respect. I want to have a reverence more for the things of God than I do for the things of man and the things of this world. Last week, we looked at the life of Joseph and how because of his fear of the Lord, the Bible says that God was with him, even in times of trial and distress. We saw how Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. He never got bitter, but he always remembered what the Lord had shown him. When he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and sentenced to prison, he never lost hope. When Pharaoh called upon him to interpret his dream, Joseph gave all glory to the Lord. And then when we saw that when his brothers finally came to Egypt and Joseph revealed himself to them and made this declaration that what you meant for evil, God meant for good, we understand that Joseph never left the honor and the respect and the reverence that he had for the Lord. Genesis chapter 45 verses 5 through 8 says this, "But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years which therefore will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord over all his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt." Listen, Joseph understood his purpose in life. He understood that no matter what his brothers did, no matter what harm they may have tried to cause him, that his purpose was laid out from the foundation of the earth by the Lord. Because of Joseph's trust in and fear of the Lord, the Egyptian people were spared, and so was the house of Jacob. Again, Psalm 34, verses 8 and 10 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." So this week, I want to continue on with this series and begin to look again more at the part of it where we say the fear of the Lord, and look at another man who had a little bit different plight than what Joseph's plight was. But his awe and his reverence for the things of God allowed him to trust in the Lord in spite of some difficult challenges. So let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. So while we're bringing you up to speed, while you're turning over there, Joseph's family and descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were brought to Egypt when Joseph was second in command to Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 3 tells us how Exodus chapter 1 tells us how after Joseph had died, new Pharaoh arose that did not know Joseph. Because the children of Israel had been blessed and grew in number, Pharaoh was afraid and placed them into slavery. We see this in Exodus chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. How many of you can think back in your life when it seemed as if everything was great? Your family life was awesome. Your parents got along. Christmas was a great time. Family vacations, birthday parties, all of those things. A time when everything just seemed to be right. Can you remember those times? Then what happened? Maybe mom and dad split up, or tragedy happened, and maybe there was a death of one of your parents or both of your parents. Maybe they just got older and you got older and you got around the wrong people. Life just took a nasty turn. Things just changed and things took a turn for the worst. It was if one day all was well, but then the next day, you were like, man, what happened? And all of a sudden you felt like you were in bondage. You were in bondage to drugs. You were in bondage to alcohol. You were in bondage to some person that you had been with. Maybe you were in bondage to the law because you broke the law because of some of your choices. Maybe you were just in bondage to plain old sin. See, what happened to those good times that seemed so far away? See, we used to have a respect for our parents and those in the authority over us, but then all of a sudden, one day, we turned from that respect. We turned from that awe that we had for them. One day, we used to go to church and learn about God, and then the next day, we decided that we would rather sleep in on Sunday or stay out late on Saturday and not get up on Sunday, or maybe football became the most important thing to us on Sunday. One day, we wanted to please God, and then the next day, we wanted to please man. This is what happened to the children of Israel. One day, everything was going great. They were living off the fruit of the land and worshiping the God of creation. And the next day, their world was rocked. And they wanted God to bless them, but they had not blessed God. They had become people spoiled by blessings of God and the blessings that were given to their forefathers. And now the blessing was dependent upon them. They had no fear or reverence for the things of God. If you hold your finger right there in Exodus and flip over to the Gospel of Mark, listen to what this says. Mark chapter 7, verse 11 through 13. It says, "But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban." That means that it's a gift of God. "Then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect. Therefore, your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do." So the children of Israel had been living on the blessing of Joseph, but had no reverence for God themselves. Thus, the promise of God for this people were of no effect, because they were not real in their heart, but just living off the tradition of life. I was actually talking to a guy this morning, thinking about the world that we live in today. There's a lot of people, and many of you that listen to this podcast know that I've said this many times, and I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but I'm trying to get your attention, because there are many people that I run into, and if I ask them, "Hey, if you died today, and would you go to heaven or hell?" And they want to believe that they're going to go to heaven based on the tradition of their fathers, not based on the Word of God. We are doing things in churches today based on the traditions of our fathers and not going back to the Word of God. I spend a lot of time in court, and I see people that try cases, and we don't go back to the Constitution and practice Constitution law. Instead, what we do is we practice case law today in court. People will say, "Well, in case number such and such back in 1999, because some judge made a poor decision, now every decision on that type of case is going to be based off of what that judge did, instead of taking it back to the original Constitution." Well, it's the same thing. When we begin to practice living according to the traditions of our fathers, many of our forefathers have failed. Many of our parents have failed. Life as we know, we can see today how our government is so twisted. We're looking at things that President Biden is making decisions based on what President Obama did, instead of going back and saying, "Listen, it wasn't right when he did it. Why do we want to continue to carry those things on?" And so it's the same thing for us when we're continuing to operate in the traditions of our forefathers, how they were handed down, and continue to get watered down, continue to stay broken, continue to get worse, instead of going back to the way that it should have been. So the children of Israel were doing that. They continue to, they found themselves in slavery. They found themselves being cursed. They found themselves in this bondage. And instead of going back and saying, "God, we repent. God, forgive us. God, we want to get our hearts right with you." Instead, all they wanted to do is say, "Well, Lord, you blessed Abraham, you blessed Isaac, you blessed Jacob, you blessed Joseph. Why aren't you blessing us?" They weren't looking at those things and changing the way that they were doing some things. They had no reverence for God, but they wanted God to bless them. Look at this in Genesis 22, verse 15 through 18. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, as the sand in which the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice.'" See, the children of Israel understood that there was a blessing from Abraham, but because they had lost the fear of the Lord, because they have lost the reverence of the Lord, that blessing was not there anymore. Every promise in the Bible is conditional. And if the condition is not met, the promise is made of no effect, not by God's unfaithfulness, but by our unfaithfulness. Because Abraham had obeyed and feared the Lord, he was blessed. But because his ancestors had turned away from worshiping God, they had lost their blessing. Because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and even Joseph feared the Lord blessed them. The Lord longed for another leader that would fear him so he could move in the lives of his people once again. Thus, we go back to Exodus. In chapter 2, Moses is born to a God-fearing family and through a series of events is raised in the house of Pharaoh. When Moses is an adult, he sees how Pharaoh is mistreating the children of Israel and remembers who he really is. Because of this, he tries to help the children of Israel, but he ends up killing a man and flees to the backside of the desert where he marries a shepherd's daughter and becomes a shepherd himself. So by now you should have Exodus 3 where we originally were going to. And we understand that 40 years had passed while Moses was in the desert tending to his father-in-law's sheep. God revealed himself to Moses and the Lord appears to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a burning bush. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to look. God called him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.'" It was not until Moses turned aside to draw near to the Lord's presence in the bush that God did anything. Once God saw that Moses left his intended course and set his agenda aside to draw near to God, then God revealed himself to Moses. Let me say that again so you get a hold of this. God did nothing until Moses turned from his own agenda to heed to the voice of God and draw near to God. It was at that point when Moses made God the focal, made God the point of his agenda, that God began to speak. How God longs for us to make him number one on our agenda. James chapter 4, verse 8 says this, "Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." God is looking for a people that will draw near to him in reverence of who he is. But yet what we've got is we've got such a busy society. We've got such a busy everything we're doing. We're all about our agenda that many times we don't seek after the things of God. Listen, if we would draw near to God first, then God would begin to draw near to us. God saw that Moses gave reverence and awe to him and left his own agenda to see what the Lord had planned to do. And God gave Moses the plan of deliverance of his children. See, God needed a man full of faith and a man that feared the Lord, that would draw near to him so that he could send him back to free his people. Moses was such a man that he feared the Lord and followed his commands and led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the land of promise. Now, there's so much more that I want to share with you regarding this, about how God is wanting to deliver you and I out of our bondage. Is God calling us to be the deliverer of the United States of America? I'm not saying that. But I do know that there are hurting people all around us. There are people that are in bondage all around us. There are people that are asking questions and don't know the answers. They don't know our God. And God is looking for someone that would draw near to Him. Someone that would want to put God at the top of their agenda. Someone that would draw near to God so that God would draw near to them, so that God would use us to not only bring us out of bondage, but to help bring others out of the bondage that they're in. Their substance abuse, the bondage of pornography, the bondage of whatever sin they may be in, and then bring us to a land flowing with milk and honey. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord God has commanded to teach you, that you," say me, "that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes, all his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged." Listen, I'm not trying to say that the United States of America or that you are going to replace the children of Israel, but the same promise that God made to the children of Israel, God is making to us. That if we would fear the Lord our God, if we would keep his commandments, his word, Old Testament and New Testament, if we would keep his commandments, then we would be blessed, and not only us, but our sons and our grandsons after us. God is looking for a people that would draw near to him. God is looking for a people that would hold him to the highest esteem, reverence him, and fear him, so that God can not only bless us, but that God would use us to be a blessing to others. What is God's promise for those that would fear him? Revelation chapter 11, verse 17 through 18 tells us. Revelation chapter 11, verse 17 through 18. We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. Because you have taken your great power and reigned, the nations were angry and your wrath has come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Listen, God promises us this. For those that fear the Lord, the prophets and the saints, all of those great and small, God is going to bless them. God is going to reward you. God has made a place in heaven for you and for I that will live righteously. Those that will seek the Lord, those that will call upon the name of the Lord, those that will draw near to the Lord, those that will follow his commandments, he will reward. But those that will turn from him, those that will fear man more than fearing God, those he will destroy just as he's going to destroy the earth. Can I tell you, saints of God? It's time for us to seek after the Lord with all of our heart. Psalm 34:8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Do you trust in the Lord today? Do you fear the Lord, have an awe and a reverence for who he is? Because if you do, He's got a reward for you. And not only for you, but all those that he's sending you to. Listen, God is sending you to help minister to others. But he needs you to trust in him. He needs you to call out to him. Put him first and foremost in your life, in your prayer life, in the fact that you're going to church and seeking after him and fellowshipping with other believers, and that you're putting the things of this world second, third, whatever the case may be, but put God first. Amen. Father, I thank you for each and every one that listens to this podcast. I pray that you would bless them and keep them. May they hunger and thirst for your righteousness. May they call upon the name of the Lord God Almighty. May they have a fear, an awe, a reverence for the Word of God, for the Spirit of God, to do the will of God in their lives. Father, help us to be a light in a dark world, to do your will, that others may come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in us, through us, and with us. And Father, may you get all glory, all praise, because you alone are worthy. We thank you again, Father, that today we walk circumspectly as unto the Lord, not as unto this world. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.